Welcome to the Elks Dynasty Daily Podcast, round one reaction. And I just sat here for a few minutes after the first round, and I just was just thinking it over, you know, and just trying to get an idea of what happened. Did 4 hours or so with Chad and Tim, UTH, you know, just hanging out and reacting to everything. It takes a few minutes here to react, you know, and just to process some of it as much trading and stuff is going on in real time. Let's start positionally. So let's go quarterback for a second. You get Kenny Pickett at 20. I think if you were to think about Kenny Pickett from a dynasty fantasy football perspective, right, he goes after where Mac Jones goes last year. I think maybe he has a little bit more athletically to offer than Mac Jones. Similar type of really, it was only one good year of production out of Kenny Pickett at Pittsburgh Panthers in college. And he goes after where Mac Jones goes. And not only does he go after where Mac Jones goes, but he goes after where Mac Jones goes in a class that had no quarterbacks in the first 19 picks. Let me tell you all you need to know about the Superflex board this year. So that's, I think, the initial thing. Where he fits in and where he slides in. You know, I think there's an aspect of this, and I got to get the numbers out and everything. I'll say this. I think Kenny Pickett has, you know, I'll do some board preparation more on Saturday and exactly where I'm going to put him. But I'll say this. With going to Pittsburgh, you have a pretty stable franchise, right? And I think that is good for player development. Tomlin's good. They don't do off the rails things that often. So I think that's probably good for player development. That said, listen, I don't think that there's anything stopping them from addressing the position again. Whether that is, you know, they didn't mortgage future capital, right? They didn't trade up, right? They have no real contractual commitments to anyone. 20th overall isn't that expensive. And if they're not good this year, they might pick at the top of the class next year with maybe a situation that looks a little bit more like last year than this year. Again, I think they're probably pretty good. And the problem with Pittsburgh is they're never going to be that high because they're pretty good, right? They're a good franchise. So that's, is he a long-term bet? You know, maybe as much as you would guess any of these other guys in there, a couple of years, maybe. But if they bomb this year, there's nothing to say that they won't readjust the position. They didn't pay that much. I mean, that's the good part about just sitting and waiting. Let the board come to you. You're not under the pressure of being fired or any of those sorts of things. You just let it come to you and draft with the pick you're giving and with the pick you're given. And there you go. And that's great. I think that's a really, really good use of their talent. We said from the beginning on Trubisky, like there was nothing to prevent them from readjusting the position. And this is how smart franchises do it. Right? This is a good example of how smart franchises act and keep taking shots. Is either of the guys on this roster the answer? I don't know, but they've given themselves multiple shots. And I think that is a... At the cost of not that much money and not that much investment, that's I think a great outcome for Pittsburgh. How does that fit in dynasty? I mean, I think with stable gives them a chance to development and to chance to develop and all that. That's good. I don't think he's a big time dynamic athlete, and I think we have to think of him after where you would think of Mac Jones, which would have been mid to I don't know, between 6 and 10 last year, something like that. Probably a little bit later on the later aspect. It was like 8, 7, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in that range to 12, right? Somewhere late first, depending on where you were. I think, you know, with the problem with this class, it's not very good. And as a result, like, you might just buy a shortage of supply, be forced to move, pick it up the board. I don't think that'd be the bet that I'd make. If I was going to try and address quarterback, I think we're going to get an opportunity to address it in some other ways. And I might double dip more than I would take a first on Kenny Pickett. Obviously, no running backs, nothing to the Bills, which is notable. I think everything's in play for round two. You know, we'll see there. And maybe they're a team that's in play in round two. I think that's totally possible. So we'll see there. No running back for Tampa Bay. They trade down. They pick at the beginning of the second round. So we'll see there. Maybe they've been linked to some of these guys. Maybe it's a haul spot, something like that. But we'll definitely watch to see that. One other thing I would just take note of with some of the trade downs and that stuff. You do have some extra picks for Washington. I'll have to recheck this before tomorrow, but I have them picking 47, 98, 113, 120. So they do add additional picks on day two. They've talked, they've interviewed everybody, right? That sort of puts them in line to do that again, and they've replenished their picks by the Wentz deal. So I actually like that for them. And at the same time, they actually get Jahan Dotson in a move down. So I actually like that for them. Again, we'll see with it's not a ton of landing spots. We talked about this in prior pods. It's not a ton of landing spots, but I think it's interesting. All right. No tight end as well, so nothing really much changes there. And all the action really is the receivers. So London goes at 8. Again, he's going to be a nice 21-year-old rookie. You like to see that. Garrett Wilson goes 10 to the Jets. Olave goes 11 to the Saints in a trade up. Jameson Williams goes 12th to Detroit, which is, that was surprising, and a big-time move up for them. That was really, really surprising. Not something I probably would have done, but listen, like, all of a sudden, you have some robust options. And if they want to take a shot on Goff being a long-term answer, this is a good way to do it. This is also a really good spot for someone to come in day two. You have what looks like a stable franchise, right? They're making some good decisions. They take Aiden Hutchinson. They do the right thing there, and they trade up. They're trying to surround their quarterback with weapons, which is kind of what we know he needs. And we need to readjust our baseline, because I hate trading up. However, this wide receiver market is just totally out of hand. And if instead of paying someone $25 million, it's going to cost you basically 2 second round picks to get the wide receiver of your choice, that's going to cost a lot less than $25 million. I think that's, like, if that's the economics of this position, sometimes you have to lean into it a bit. And that would be an example of sometimes you have to zig when everyone else is zagging, right? When everyone else is going the direction and demand is just out of this world, using picks instead of cash can make a lot of sense from a roster construction perspective. So I think that's something that we'll have to watch for more and more. So James Williams, 12. And then we get Hollywood Brown and 100 to Arizona for 23. So we'll see. There's probably a contract extension there in the offing, I would imagine. The initial reaction I thought was interesting, and then we get some more notes after the fact. The initial reaction was, oh, Bateman, wide receiver 1. I thought that's a compelling initial reaction. However, the information as we see it, a little bit more context to that. GM Eric DaCosta said the trading of Marquise Brown was a, quote, complicated topic, end quote. DaCosta said Brown requested to be traded at the end of the year. Quote, it's something I anguished over for a long time, end quote, DaCosta said. That is from Jameson Hensley, on Twitter at Jameson Hensley was with the report there. He is a ESPN Ravens reporter there on the scene with the Ravens. That doesn't strike me as being a Bateman thing. It strikes me as being a we're not going to pay Hollywood Brown thing. And which is fine. I mean, this is a big thing, right? This is something that we're going to need more analytics on and understanding the value of these wide receivers, because there's the haves and have-nots, and there's teams that just are not going to pay, and then there's analytics teams that are going to pay, right? And I think it's a really interesting blend there. I don't, you know, and I'll get into this a little bit, and we'll have probably reactions on some of the specific fallout guys from the others, right, the non-rookies. But Bateman's on the wrong side of the yards per route run stuff. And, yeah, we can say all the stuff about he was just a rookie, missed some time, injuries, yada, yada. He was on the field a decent amount. And when you are on the field a decent amount and you just don't, you don't play that well, right? That should give us a little bit of concern about where we're at. So my big concern there with him is really the yards per route run. It's low, and you know, is it something that can correct? Yeah, but when you start looking at where he is, right, we start looking at some of our curve stuff. He is at 1.26 yards per route run. That's on the bad side. It really is. That's 46% overall in terms of guys in the database. But that is not a good early career production metric. 0.25 career points per route run. That's 41st percentile. Targets per route run, he's at basically 15.9% of his routes he's targeted on. That's good for that is good for a career 37 percentile overall. So don't really love that. Mark Andrews is a good, really good pick. Listen, if Bateman's going to be drawn down first plus valuations next year, right? If first next year plus, I'm all in on that. Cash that in, that's fine. And could he be really good? Yep. Are we going to sort of understand the rookie season bet a little bit? Yeah, I think so, right? That would sort of be my angle there. And I think you could take a bet on him for cheaper, right? And you just look at guys who did what he did as a rookie, just the ceiling outcomes are pretty low. And so that's really the thing with him that gives me a little bit of pause. I liked him coming out, but I do think we need to we hold on to those priors a little bit too long once we get that updated information. I think it's something that we have to be really careful of doing. Okay, so that's him. And then Jahan Dotson, 16th to Washington. Again, so you basically have five guys in the top 16, and then you get Treylon Burks to 18 with Tennessee because Tennessee trades A.J. Brown to Philly. Listen, I think there's a we also get Pickett, right? So that's really the first round, if you will. We end up don't getting Pickens. We don't get Christian Watson. We don't get Sky Moore. Right? So there's probably some guys on day two. But we end up getting Burks at 18, Dotson at 16, Jameson Williams at 12, Olave at 11, Garrett Wilson at 10, Drake London at 8. Listen, I think, I don't know the exact order which these guys are going to go off, but, and I would caution anyone saying this about the board being settled. There's Breece Hall still out there. There's Kenneth Walker still out there. There is Spiller and James Cook and Brian Robinson and Damian Pierce. And there's a whole bunch of guys that are out there that could still go on day two. And there's still teams with needs on day two at running back. So I think there's a lot that can still change. That said, I think more important than anything will be, and remember, in what do you look at? Good day two prospects at wide receiver, good round two prospects, about on par with bad round one prospects. So we'll sort of sort that out. That might give you some hope on guys that broke out early in their career. Landing on day two, you can potentially get them up in the range of some of these first round wide receivers and the like there. I think that's interesting. But the running backs are really the big thing. And remember, round three running backs and round one wide receivers have very similar hit rates. And so just keep that in mind. And I would just caution, I think, is maybe the word, or don't get assuming that everything is going to be that everything is going to be very simple when this whole thing goes on and there's going to be some tier break at eight or something like that. I think there's still a lot of room for movement, and if that's going to be the case, I think you're going to get with some of this movement, you are going to get the opportunity to make trades. I think if you were to tell me, like, hey, you can take any wide receiver you want, or you can take Jahan Dotson in a 2023 first, what's your choice? I'd be really, really hard-pressed to go, given all that we know, against the Jahan Dotson pick. I'd just be really hesitant to do that. And if that's going to be the case, I mean, man, it's just really, really, it's just really tough to give up that production. You know, one thing I was just taking a peek at as well is the adjusted hit rates for some of these guys. So you get, this is just my breakout adjusted hit rate. You get 45% for Garrett Wilson, 71% for Drake London, 71% for Olave, right? Because those guys are all on. They were, quote, early breakouts at 19 years old. The other ones here, Wilson, Jameson Williams, Burks, Jahan Dotson, they are all 45% hit rate type guys. Then when you look at it for a guy like Pickens, if he goes on date in round two, he's a 45% hit rate guy as well, right? So I think that's one of the things you can say, all right, like, how do you sort of get that tier extended? A guy like Pickens on day two makes a lot of sense. We'll see. Sky Moore, not really that breakout. Wandale Robinson, someone asked about him today. He had that early breakout at 19 years old, so he could be on that 45 and kind of looking like the not great round one guys as well. So, and then when you start looking at those guys versus round two running backs beat them, round three running backs are on par with them. You know, so if you're going to get in a tier where it's going to be a couple of round three running backs versus guys like Jahan Dotson versus guys like Christian Watson or guys like, George Pickens or something like that, Christian Watson will probably fall a little bit further off because he's a 26% hit rate guy. But you start falling off, you start looking in that tier, and that'll blend together a little bit. That those first round wide receivers, the early second round wide receivers that are good, and some of the day two running backs, that tier is going to blend together. And I think it'd be lengthen out your board more than you, more than you might expect. So just be careful on that. Again, I think I'm willing to take, I want to go pretty far down the board to take get a future first, especially if it's going to be a situation where it's like Garrett Wilson or someone like that up at the top. I'm definitely willing to move way, way down and get that first, because I think that tier is probably going to open up a little bit more. And if the worst thing you do is take a round two running back at the end of the first round, I think you're doing pretty good, and you're getting a good shot, an insulated shot, and a better class probably here going forward, other than trying to pick rookie wide receivers, which we're not really good at. I did do some polling here. I'll just run this down. Does being selected with the 20th pick in the draft by the Steelers increase or decrease Kenny Pickett's dynasty value? 74, almost 75% said increase. basically 19% said no change from pre-draft, only 7% said decrease. So market pretty favorable on him. Maybe he gets into the mid first in rookie drafts. Same question for Drake London, increase, decrease, or no change. 52% said increase his valuation, 20% said decrease, 28% said no change from the priors. When you look, Garrett Wilson's actually got a negative split, increase 31%, decrease 33%, 36% remains the same. I'm rounding these, by the way, so if they don't add up to 100, that's why. Chris Olave, 51% up, 17% down. So a nice split there. That's pretty good. And more than 3-1. Or pretty close to 3-1. And then no change in value was 31%. Jameson Williams is notable, down 25%, up 26%, down 42%, no change, about 32% as well. So a negative landing spot for him. Jahan Dotson, 47% up, 34% down, 19%. Remains the same. So that's, I think, a notable one that we were talking, how would the market react to that on the UTH pod. I think that's actually better than we would have thought. So that's interesting. Treylon Burks up 68%, down 12%, no change, 19%. That door opens wide open for him. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see him up at the top of the board. Is there going to be an opportunity to move from, again, I've been getting texts that people think London at one. There's zero chance I'm doing that. I love Drake London. There's no chance in the world that I'm doing that. I have learned that lesson before. And unless you're the perfect prospect, which I don't think he is, you weren't going up there. Otherwise, I'm arbing that all day long. The consequence of being right is not something that's going to kill you if you trade down and trade down well off of it. And there's just a ton of risk. And so that's just my thing with the early wide receivers. But it could be Burks. It could be London up at the top. Maybe Garrett Wilson, Olave, right? If one of those four guys lands at 4 or 5, something like that, especially if it's in a rogue draft, if it's a guy like London or Burks, I'm interested there. Otherwise, I'm if I can trade any of these wide receivers for another first rounder and a first next year, I'm doing it. So that's my rule of thumb. That's what I'm doing. We'll see what happens with Breece Hall and Kenneth Walker and how they factor into that conversation up at the top of the board. I am willing to move down and get creative in how to do it. Can be a chance to two-way go this thing too. Arb some profiles. And listen, the guy you might be thinking about taking at 103 might ultimately be available at 106. If you can arb down something on the way, let other people take the people they want, and you just sort of take what comes to you. You might get your own guy that you want, and you might get additional assets. And that could be assets that help you right now. You think about guys that could potentially be throw-ins. Brandon Cooks, right, could be a guy you could use to move down, right? He comes out of this with no additional competition, right? Like you look at this and you could say, all right, there's opportunities to move down and collect some production assets now, as well as a largely random shot in the first round of wide receivers as well, and just go that way. Like I really, really like that idea. So I'm going to be spending a lot of time trying to do that and being flexible on how far down I'm willing to go, just because I want to take as many in a wide receiver dominant class. I don't want to try and pick them. I want to let them come to me and be able to pick the other pieces that I get along with it. So that's really the big thing for me. I want to digest this a little bit more as well. I know some people have asked about boards and stuff like that. Saturday, Sunday, I'll have more stuff together in terms of like overall cohesiveness. Probably if I go to bed tonight, think about this during the day tomorrow a little bit as well. I'll have some more thoughts. And, I might be able to cut some additional podcasts here along the way and not just at the end of, not at the end of the night. We'll see how the weekend goes. But yeah, so there's that, and I'll have your content covered as well, and then we need to get together and do a live show at some point too. I miss the live interaction with everyone, so gonna have to do that as well. Oh, by the way, AJ Brown to Philly. I didn't really talk about it. I think it's maybe good news for some passing volume. I'd be really interested to see if they throw it more. And so that's one thing I'm hopeful for. And we'll see. You know, there should be no excuse on Jalen Hurts, right? Now you found out. This is basically what Philly has done. Philly has done basically what Miami did, right? And I think that those are all really interesting. We're gonna find out right now if our quarterback's the guy, and if he's not, we're gonna roll it over. We're gonna have the assets to get a rookie quarterback, and listen, we're gonna elevate that rookie quarterback with having good assets around him. I think it's a really, really wise decision. So good stuff there, and we'll see Malik Willis maybe, you know, and we'll get this thing fleshed out. I think we'll have a better day two of the draft maybe than we'll feel on round one of our rookie drafts, for example. So that'll do it for this edition. I hope this helps. And if you're up late listening to this, I'm finishing just after 1 o'clock. So if you're up late, you catch this before the morning, send me a message. And I'd love to hear you're up still thinking about the draft. So that'll do it. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.